All right, good evening. Well, I'm Dr. Lee Merritt, once a orthopedic and spinal surgeon, now your professional medical rebel. And you may have remembered a while ago, there was a doctor, Joel Wallach, and he was famous for his line, "Dead doctors don't lie." And what he was talking about was the fact that we tend to give advice to others and not follow it ourselves and don't always live the best lifestyle. But now it's got a new meaning because up in Canada, we're having a rash of dead doctors. And these are young, healthy people. It started out with four in the same hospital, and then it got to be more. I kind of lost track at 40. They say it's up to 80 now. It's really, and it has started with the vaccine mandate for doctors. Now, the other thing, to just as an equal opportunity provider, of course, the Canadian government is recommending euthanasia for the non-doctors. So it's kind of a mess. But we have Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson, who's a Canadian media personality. She's been on the co-host of the 700 Club, and she's going to be here to talk to us about this, and you won't want to miss that. Now, in the meantime, do think about Christmas shopping. It's the Brighteon store, and use the code REBEL if you want to support the show. Thank you very much.
Riots, recession, food prices, gas prices, violation of our liberties. These issues are keeping Americans awake at night. Sleepless nights aren't good for your health. Millions are suffering from sleep gap disorder. I'm Dr. Steve Hodgson, and I have a natural solution to overcome this dreaded sleep gap disorder, my proprietary sleep formula. One capsule of sleep formula will help you achieve a great night's sleep for as little as 75 cents per night. Visit our website, physicianspreferencevitamins.com, and enter the promo code SLEEPNOW. It's hard to stand up against tyranny when you're tired. Pray for our country and get a good night's sleep.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Judy Mikovits, and I just so appreciate Mike Adams and Brighteon TV and giving us a voice back as he's provided us the opportunity to talk. We're coming here from Mannheim, Pennsylvania, in the Clay Clark Reawaken America. So thank you, Brighteon TV, and Mike, appreciate you.
At the Brighteon store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. We have a colloidal silver extra strength spray, a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at Brighteon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at BrighteonStore.com.
All righty, thank you. Well, Laura Lynn, thank you for coming all the way from British Columbia. And what's going on up there? Let's talk about the doctors to start, but then I want to talk to you about the euthanasia program, which, quite frankly, as the former president of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, we warned people 40 years ago, you get government health care, this is where it leads. But let's start with the doctors, because this is really a tragedy.
It really is a tragedy, and thank you so much, Dr. Merritt, for having me on your show. We've just loved having you on our show and consider you one of the most courageous women that is standing up. And so we appreciate that. So Dr. William Mackis is a doctor. And of course, they went after him years ago, actually, because he was always outing what the medical system in Canada was doing. That had to do with his cancer research. But as of recent days, he's been keeping very close eye on all of the doctors that are dying. And there are many, many, many. He narrowed it down then to, I think it was 93 doctors that came out. So I've got some pictures here, if we're able to put that up. But these doctors, all every single one of these folks were healthy until the third and fourth vaccinations, booster shots, and then they passed away. And so Dr. Mackis was able to do hundreds of hours of research, including talking to many of the families, talking to the people that were in and around these folks to understand that they were not unhealthy. Some of them died swimming. Some of them died riding their bikes. Many of them just in their sleep and no other pre-existing conditions. And so he is outing that right now. And of course, he's getting, you know, lambasted from those that don't want him speaking, as is the way across the world right now. But the information just can't be held back. And more information is coming to him about all of this. And of course, we're just beginning to experience the outing of children as well that are dying. So we've got 93 doctors, but I quite frankly think that actually it's well over 100 now that they think that they have, that have died. Wow. Unexpectedly died suddenly.
Here's a question I have is, do they not have any self-preservation instinct? I mean, they have to know, right? They know these people. They knew they weren't healthy. They knew they weren't sick. There was six doctors in one hospital in like 2 weeks. They had to know what was going on. Why did the rest continue to take the vaccine, the so-called vaccine?
Dr. Merritt, that is the biggest the biggest concern is that some doctors are so afraid that they keep going along with the narrative because they don't want to lose their jobs. Doctors are being compelled and forced. You either take the vaccine or you lose your position. So first of all, they're in a very, very precarious place. Second of all, they just don't know any better. There's a lot of doctors, they have bought the Kool-Aid. They are not watching your show. They're not watching my show. They don't even probably know who Dr. Peter McCullough is. We don't understand how that's even possible. But my own doctor told me when we were not allowed to go to restaurants if we were unvaccinated and we were being discriminated in Canada, like as if, you know, as if we were, you know, not human and we were the unclean. And my own doctor told me that he was glad that I wasn't able to go to a restaurant because I needed to do what my duty was in this country. And my duty in his perspective was to go along with everyone else and get the vaccine. And I said, how many boosters will you be taking? And he said, I'm committed to three boosters. So that would be five in total, the two shots and the three boosters. Well, most doctors now are getting to that place where they're about to take their fifth boosters, if some probably have already. And then he said that's all he would take. And then he would be on my side. So I celebrated the fact that he might eventually get to the place where he wakes up. But in truth, they don't think that people are dying. They're not listening to the news. They don't care. And they're completely blinded. Others are just simply terrified and they're cowards. Let's call it what it is. They are absolute cowards.
Yeah, I have to say that it's amazing to me that you would be in the position of not wanting to be fired, but okay with dying. So they must not really believe it. I guess that's really what's happening. Now,
many do not. And they're not there yet.
One of the things that kills me too, and I have medical people in the family that think this way. When you talk to people and you say, let's just take these soccer players. Okay, let's just take a microcosm and let's just look at that. Have you ever seen anything that like that in your life? And the answer I always get from people that are bought into the program is, well, but you know, considering how many vaccines we've given over the billions over for billions of people over the world, that's not very many people. You see, but that's complete, even that's statistical nonsense. It's not comparing apples and oranges. You have to compare. Have you ever seen in the group of soccer players, have you ever seen this? You know, I actually went back and looked at those numbers, and the most that we've ever seen die of FIFA doesn't keep track of total deaths, but they keep track of death on the field. And it's a very interesting thing when you actually look at, I went back to 1899 or 89, 1889 is when they first started taking the numbers. And you know, at the most, they ever had three people die on the field in a year, at the most. Wow. And this last year was 27, I believe. So what's going on? And oh, and by the way, when they were dying, they weren't dying of cardiac problems. They were dying of collisions or struck by lightning. It was 0 to 3 every year until 2000. In 2000, something else happened. And that's interesting too, because then they started dying of cardiac. It went up to almost 10 a year, 3 to 10, and it was cardiac primarily. So we have to say to ourselves, this didn't start with COVID vaccine. This started with something else. And I'll bet you if you went back, you'd find that with doctors too.
That is very fascinating. I know the uptick in vaccinations and also the flu shot began, you know, we didn't always have the flu shot. My parents were faithfully going out to get the flu shot. I never liked it. Dr. Peter McCullough himself says he's not going to be doing that anymore because he has absolutely lost trust in the entire establishment. And so who knows what came in? That is very interesting. And I'm going to mention that on my show and say that I heard that from you. I feel that most people here in Canada, we don't have any trust for our doctors anymore. We don't have trust for our hospitals. One lady up here, she got PTSD because she had COVID and she went to the hospital to get treatment. And because she was unvaccinated, they treated her horribly. And they are doing that up here. There is like a mass formation psychosis going on. We've got people out loud doing their concerts and declaring to the entire crowd that that freedom-loving people should basically be taken on planes. They said this out loud, Matthew Good. They should be taken on planes to the Congo and shot by teens with AK-47s.
Oh my God.
If we were to get up and, you know, say hateful things like that in front of our churches or a mosque, you know, or somebody got up and spoke so hatefully about a distinct group, we would be slapped with charges. But it seems that there is no end to the hatred that you can invoke against the unvaccinated. And our prime minister is one of the absolute worst about this. He said that we shouldn't be on planes and trains. He didn't want us eating in the restaurants. And I know that many of you went through that in some of the states in the United States, but it was bad. In Canada, it was Canada-wide. We have a very tyrannical country, and Justin Trudeau has invested into the vaccines, and he is committed to the vaccine. It doesn't matter who dies. We figured it out. Like, it honestly doesn't matter what statistical information you can put in front of them. They do not care. And we feel that we're in danger.
And, you know, it's interesting. Now, you mentioned Dr. McCullough. And, you know, Dr. McCullough was a big he's a big cardiologist. Okay, this is a smart guy who's one of the most, if not the most published physician in the world. Now, admittedly, vaccination wasn't maybe something he really looked at. But in about 2014, when the nurses came to me and asked me, what do you think about this mandatory flu shot? It took me about 1 hour to research this and to figure out it was a complete scam. 1 hour. I went to the PDR, which we still had back then, and I discovered, for example, that in America, 67% on average every year took the flu vaccine, and we had a 0.05%, according to the WHO, death from flu, okay? Estonia, 5% took the vaccine, and they had the same death rate. Now, that's the kind of number that isn't hard to understand. Where were all, I'm just dumbfounded that all these academic physicians don't see that. You know, I mean, I was once in the academic world. I mean, and we always used to think the academic guys, man, they're the smartest, the brightest, the best. What are they not getting here? And I'm not here to criticize Dr. McCullough. I'm just saying, when a smart guy like that doesn't get it, it says that we've been brainwashed for decades about vaccines. You know, it's like you can criticize cardiac drugs, you know, if you don't think this is a good one or whatever, but you cannot criticize statins and you cannot criticize vaccines, or you're a Looney Tune in the medical community.
I think it's about propaganda and that they're told certain things and they just kind of go by the line. And that's the reason that so many doctors are infiltrated and just completely do not get what's going on, because they're told how it is in medical school, whatever the dogma, whatever the ideology and or, you know, latest teaching that they want. They want everyone to believe. And a lot of that is governed by the funds behind it, right? If you get a lot more money from a certain drug or from vaccines, then you want those doctors to promote that, especially the people at the top, and it just trickles all down. And then there's the bought and paid for people. Dr. Bonnie Henry is our provincial health officer here in Vancouver, British Columbia area, and she is absolute evil. She's evil in a nice haircut, and she always presents herself well. You can tell, though, that she's really aging because of the lies. She just keeps spitting out lies about how children should be vaccinated and kids 6 months old and up should get vaccinated. And she is guilty of crimes against humanity, because we have had so many bad reactions and deaths in here, right in this province, that for her to keep going along with this is terrible. At the head of all of this in Canada is a woman by the name of Dr. Theresa Tam. Dr. Theresa Tam has her affiliations with the WHO. We know she's bought and paid for. She has a huge salary. The only thing this woman ever says is the vaccines are safe and effective. It doesn't matter how many people are suddenly dropping dead in Canada.
Well, and also the babies. You had a hospital, and I think it was in Vancouver, that was reporting within 1 month having something like 22 missed or stillbirths. You know, my friend Christiane Northrup does OBGYN. She said in her whole career in of OBGYN, she's only seen a couple stillbirths. So it's amazing to me that we have doctors saying it's safe and effective for pregnant women when, number one, there's no package insert because they can't tell you what's, they're not telling you what's in it. So they, you don't have any numbers. And the very first post-marketing study showed that out of 370 pregnant women that took the vaccine, they could only prove one live birth. Are you kidding me? And yet we continue to give it to pregnant women?
Yes. And I have some breaking news, Dr. Merritt, and I've only said it once on my show. It's been reported nowhere else. And that is that in Red Deer, Alberta, that is one province east of us. We are basically on the far west coast. And right. For your viewers to understand Canada, but it's British Columbia, then Alberta. In Alberta, right in the middle of that province is a little city, beautiful city. It's called Red Deer, Alberta. In that hospital, there are babies dying almost daily. And we do have a whistleblower. There are many who know about this. Everyone is being quiet. But we do have a whistleblower, actually, who has come forward and said, it's so bad. Every time a baby dies, they put butterflies up onto the door to symbolize their sadness that a baby has passed. And now the butterflies are changing every day, and they're having a literal crisis. They don't know what to do at the Red Deer Hospital, so they're sending these parents and infants for testing, you know, to try to do some sort of autopsies over to Edmonton, Alberta. But it's a crisis. It's not in our mainstream media at all, because everyone's too afraid to talk about it. God forbid we cause vaccine hesitancy to a pregnant mother. This is disgusting. It's sick and it's pure evil.
I mean, you know, this couldn't have gotten this way if doctors didn't work for a big corporation or a big yes. government. When we were independent physicians, we would have spoken out. I have to say, this is the, you know, we took a lot of heat because we didn't have government run healthcare. And we kept saying, some of us kept saying, you don't want government run healthcare. This is where it always ends up. It always ends up killing people. And here we are. I mean, I can't believe that these people don't have a soul. Aren't there people with souls that feel right. guilty about this, that are participating in this? You know, I always tell people, look, Eichmann didn't kill anybody directly. He just made the trains run. He just organized things. It's these evil people that are running this whole show. They're not killing people directly. They're getting us to kill ourselves. Because we're participating in the hospitals. We've got people giving these shots, you know, injecting
their
babies,
sociopaths.
Injecting people. And that's what we have to start calling out. What the heck?
Do you know where the sociopathic nurses are? I learned this firsthand when my father had COVID pneumonia. I just got home from Costa Rica and I picked up ivermectin, which you can't get here. You can't get any doctor to prescribe it because they have all been told from the top, from Dr. Teresa Tam, that sick woman that I've already mentioned to you. She has informed every doctor in Canada that they are not to prescribe ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine for their patients. They don't do a lot of things. They're not even supposed to mention vitamin D, God forbid, that you would bring up something that might be healthy for a COVID patient. So I just got back. I went to the COVID ward. There was my father. He looked within an inch of death. I mean, horrific. I was so upset. No IV on him. I mean, I'm not a nurse, but if somebody looks so close to death, how about an IV, like a little water, because they don't, like his food was sitting there untouched for 4 hours. They didn't care. I saw the greatest psychopaths on the COVID ward. They wanted death. It was like they were waiting for the next death. I created such a stink that they actually called security on me. And I'm very proud of that to this very day. And you know what, Dr. Merritt? Okay. When the security guard got there, I had my mask on, you know, or I couldn't be there. And I looked at him and I said, they're trying to kill my father. And this security guard looked at me with steel eyes and he said, I know. He said, let me go talk to them. Just calm down. I said, okay. I calmed down. I nursed my father back to health. I gave him ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine behind the doctor's back for the next 10 days until my father was released from the hospital on the same day that Colin Powell died, double vaccinated, 84 years old, dies of COVID. My dad goes home from the hospital, 87 years old, unvaccinated. It was a great day.
That is awesome. Yeah. And I know, and I've gotten in, we have a million stories now about that, about people that, you know, my friend Kate Daly, who is in Utah doing a radio show, and she's sometimes on Alex Jones, and her husband ended up in the ICU. And she calls me all in a panic. And I said, Kate, can you get in and see him? Well, yeah. I said, but they won't give him any ivermectin. I said, can you bring him in a milkshake, a smoothie? She finally kind of the light went on and she said, okay, yeah. And that's what she did. And she did the same thing. You know, that is the problem. We shouldn't have to sneak around the medical authorities to save our own family's lives. And that's what's going on. I mean, I just, you know, I always, my, you know, my, I grew up just after World War II, and I can remember guys coming over to my dad's house, to our house, and my dad, who was a physician, didn't serve in World War II because of a medical problem he had, but all these World War II vets were always talking to him, and I kept staying up late at night as a little kid listening to these stories. And I remember my dad always used to say, what is it, you know, how could the German doctors have done this? Because in his generation, you learned German to study medicine. Germany was thought to be the height of medical science at the time before World War II. And then this happened. And it's like, now we know how they got there. Now we know how they got there.
We're surrounded by evil. Yeah, Dr. Merritt, it's very alarming. And I don't think that the shot has helped them. I think it's changing personalities. I think that there's true signs of a loss of empathy, a loss of kindness. They get so much money for every death to put the people on remdesivir. You know, I think that we've lost all ethics and the love for humanity. Not to mention people like Dennis Meadows from the Club of Rome talks openly about depopulation. This man, Dennis Meadows, says that we need to bring the world 7 billion down to 1 billion, that we need to do it peacefully and in sort of a way where we all share in the experience. You know, his family first. That's what I say to Mr. Dennis Meadows. He's a crazy man. How do we have people openly talking about how to depopulate the world? Like, that is hate speech. That is not okay, right? Something is very evil, and it has taken us over.
And people will ask me, well, what would be the motive? I said, are you not listening to these people? They're just what you said. It's like, do we not get the motive now? I mean, besides the Georgia Guidestones, which fortunately somebody knocked down, I hope the good guys, you know, how could we have missed this? For 30, 40 years, they've been talking about this. Actually, way back to Plato. All tyrants seem to think the world is overpopulated. But they've really talked about it. And now, that's just an unbelievable, I mean, it's just, words just escape me. I can't believe that this is actually going on.
They don't care about people. They don't care about your grandkids. They don't care about your family. They don't have any love in their heart for anyone but who's in their immediate circle. So and they're very wealthy generally. They're all paid off. They're getting kickbacks from all kinds of things. Oh, if we've got a vaccine that's going to take out, you know, a few million people. Oh, well, that's a good way. That's a peaceful way. We don't have to get guns and shoot them all. We'll just kind of get them all eliminated and they'll slide, die slowly over a couple, 2-3 years, 10 years. And it'll be, you know, it'll be good for the population. Not as big a carbon footprint. You know, they're just absolutely madmen.
And I do think that is the one thing people always ask. We, you know, you always get pinged. Why did President Trump push this thing? One of the only reasons I can come up with that it got pushed. Now, not now. I can't justify anything he's saying or anybody's saying positive now. But initially, to push this forward, to make it happen early, these vaccines, to push it forward, this warp speed. They didn't have time to perfect it because think how much worse this would be if nobody died early of this. It was all delayed. They had perfected this to where nobody died for a couple of years and then everybody died. Think about the mass depopulation then. Well, when we come back, I want to talk about euthanasia a little bit more. And because that is just, that's the flip side of this, you know, you murder them up front or you convince people that they should just give up their lives voluntarily. It's just, you just can't make it up. But in the meantime, guys, support the program, go to the Brighton store, use the code REBEL. We'll see you back here in a couple minutes and we're going to get into the issue of euthanasia.
The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history, and they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrightonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighton.tv. BrightonMetals.com. This was made possible by Brighton.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighton.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighton.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighton.com.
Riots, recession, food prices, gas prices, violation of our liberties. These issues are keeping Americans awake at night. Sleepless nights aren't good for your health. Millions are suffering from sleep gap disorder. I'm Dr. Steve Hodgson, and I have a natural solution to overcome this dreaded sleep gap disorder, my proprietary sleep formula. One capsule of Sleep Formula will help you achieve a great night's sleep for as little as 75 cents per night. Visit our website, physicianspreferencevitamins.com, and enter the promo code SLEEPNOW. It's hard to stand up against tyranny when you're tired. Pray for our country and get a good night's sleep.
All righty. Well, we're back. And before I get Laura Lynn, I just want to say this, Laura Lynn, that the, you know, I don't want people to die needlessly. And we've thought of, and we've come up with some things. I've come up, we all have kind of our own little formula. But if people are interested, you know, I'm not practicing here remotely, but I'm telling people what I think makes sense. And I've had people that actually turn things around, people that got leukemia after the vaccines and they don't have leukemia anymore. And that kind of story. So it's by on themedicalrebel.com, and they can go to under the information tab, they can go to vaccine remorse, and it's based on what little we know, but I think it has some sound science behind it, because we're dealing with electromagnetic events here. It's not the genetic junk that they're talking about. So anyway, an interesting point is one of the things that, you know, George Carlin said, there's six words, the seven words you can't say on TV. I'm sure you're younger than I am, so you might not remember that. But George Carlin is a very funny comedian. The seven words you couldn't say on TV. Nobody cares if you say those now. But you can't say these six words. And the six words are nitazoxanide, fenbendazole, chloroquine, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and chlorine dioxide. Now, interestingly, chlorine dioxide, which I would never tell anybody to use because I don't want to go to jail, but I use it myself. Did you know that you cannot import the crystals into Canada in order to make your own?
No, not I didn't, but not, it doesn't surprise me. Yeah, we're just
at least we can get that here. But yes. And so there's a way. The good news is there's still a way to get stuff from overseas. And we're going to have to stand up. So let's talk about this whole euthanasia thing. I mean, you know, how did that, I mean, it's always been around, but now
it's really bad. It's really bad, Dr. Merritt, and it's really bad in Canada. There was an initiative in Saskatchewan, which is, it's British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, middle of the country, whereby they were trying to input that if you were having a bad day and you wanted to call your health authority in your area, you could press 5 for MAID. So imagine you're a teenager, and we have the most lax euthanasia laws almost in the entire world. Canadians are dying to kill people. They would love if everybody just took their own lives and made it a little easier for all of us. We don't have to pay for you. So even a teenager in Canada, if they are considered of sound mind and of the age that they could make the decision for themselves, they could take their lives. So I don't think very many people and doctors are helping kids to do this, but it is possible. And
so
it is not
like
being stopped.
Like, are we talking 14-year-olds when you say teenagers?
Yes, teenagers.
Oh my gosh.
So if they're considered, you know, well, in Canada, you can decide you want to change your gender and go on testosterone against your parents' wishes, basically. So why not just take your own life? So imagine that we've all been teenagers and we had that terrible, crushing heartbreak. And, you know, the boy we liked broke up with us or whatever. On a day like that, you don't want to live anymore. And let's say that you've got a bad family life and you've got some things that are happening and you just don't want to live anymore. Well, they're prepared to let you push 5 and have maid service come and help you. And I've got a couple of things here, if JT's ready to go, a couple of things from Canada, just so you know what's happening here. Canadian doctors are encouraged to bring up medically assisted death before their patients do. So you're helping, you know, Mr. Jones in the hospital figure out how he's going to get over cancer and he's having a bad day or whatever. They want you to make sure that when you go into that room, that one of the things that we need to bring up is that you can die at any time. Did you feel like checking out of this little problem you're in? You let us know because we'll make that super easy for you. And bring it up before any patient brings it up. So putting the pressure on, we outed this years ago in Canada, that this is going to become like Sweden, where basically elderly people, you know, are not respected and elderly people can end up being pressured that you're a burden to society. So we'll let you go. We have one more to show you here, Dr. Merritt, and then we can talk about it. Medically assisted deaths could save millions in healthcare spending. This report says. Now, this is absolute insanity. Here we are celebrating. How do we save money? Well, you know, maybe we could consider that we could get rid of the millions, billions of dollars that we've spent on the useless vaccine that doesn't work at all. It doesn't prevent transmission. It doesn't stop you from getting COVID. It doesn't even stop you from dying of COVID. But, oh, we're not going to look there. We're going to think about how, well, if we just allow people to kill themselves, if we just make that super easy, it will save so much money in healthcare. We don't have leaders that care about us, and they are perfectly happy to be pushing this forward. And we have serious, serious concerns on every level. Bill 36 is going to force doctors that, or people who want to become doctors in Canada, that they will have to get the vaccine just to graduate and get their certificate out of med school. We don't have a government that cares about us. They want us dead, euthanized, taken out by whatever means they can. We're in very deep trouble. And Trudeau, we believe, is a sociopathic leader who cares about himself and his hair. And he does not care about his people. And we feel, again, I say, we feel in danger here.
Oh, my God. That is pretty funny, though, that he cares about his hair.
I know.
Well, I do think
a lot of people hired him, you know, on his hair, his name, the Trudeau name, and the way he wisps his hair. I was not fooled by the hair. I always tell my husband, I've never been in love with a handsome man. And he's like, why are you saying that? I'm right here. I'm, you know, now my husband is super handsome. But, you know, when a guy looks too good and he cares and he's got to have just the right suit on, I've always been suspect of that. I don't know about you, Dr. Merritt, but I just don't like it. And I like my men ruddy and handsome. You know, like they're kind of like, they can wear the same T-shirt 2 days in a row and you got to tell them to, you know, get cleaned up. And, you know, that's a real man, right? Not a guy who's got his hair all fancy so he can go on the TV shows and to all the news and do his best acting. He's an actor. He taught acting and he's still an actor. He's the world's greatest actor. He's lying to all of us and he needs to be charged. And not only that, the ethical scandals coming out as yin yang. You know, we don't have any justice in this country. And our country has fallen to evil. And we quite frankly are not seeing our way out of it. Justin Trudeau is the WEF puppet of all times. He is their prime candidate. And we quite frankly think that he is just auditioning for his next role, which will probably be getting some sort of position with the WEF.
Oh, yeah. I have to say, so my husband and I just came back. We were in Arizona at an Indian wedding, you know, from southern India. And a big family thing, you know, groom rides in on a white stallion. This was a big, beautiful wedding. But we all got to wear Indian garb. And my husband in the hotel put this on and he says, oh, my God, I just don't want to look like Justin Trudeau. Because we always remember when Justin Trudeau went to India. It was so stupid. I mean, it was just like, come on.
I love it.
But you know,
I love it. I mean, we just mock what's going on, you know, right. and how crazy he is and blackface and all of that. Like so many things that are so inappropriate, but this, it just seems to go on and on. And they are paid off. We don't know if our elections are good. We don't know anything. I mean, we just don't know. It's all a facade.
It's not just you guys. I would have to say, I've made this observation, and it's not just with leaders. It's, you know, you can see it in leaders like Macron, Trudeau, Zelensky's the perfect, you know, the actor become the president of the country. You
100%.
Can go on and on. And what it appears to me is going on, Fauci's one, these people are actually, I know it sounds a little creepy, but they're actually bred for these positions. This is not by accident. Trudeau was picked from the time he was a child. They start seeing somebody like Macron, and he has potential, and he's probably of the bloodline. And so he's born illegitimately into this big family that runs the world, and now they watch them. And if they look talented, they open up doors in front of them. They figure where their talents could be best used. And you're right. He's an actor. And they put these actors that are very well at speaking into these positions to convince the world of things. You know, I mean, and of course, they help because they have electoral process sewn up. You don't really have to be elected by the people anymore. That was kind of messy. We have to get rid of that. And we've shown, I think, very conclusively in America that this is all just a sham, that we haven't been electing people forever. We've been selecting who they gave us.
We believe we have a sham too, but thank God for you guys in the States. You've got DeSantis. I mean, he's doing this, this new round table, and Ron Johnson bringing forward good information. We are at a loss to find somebody. There's one gal in Alberta, and Smith, right? Danielle Smith. And she's stirring up the pot. And she has called the unvaccinated the worst discriminated group of her lifetime that she's ever seen. And that got her world attention. But we're watching. She's still sort of under the thumb. This is what happens, I think, Dr. Merritt, is that people who get into positions of power, and if they even start speaking out, they're still under the big, you know, the big...
Sure.
Machine. And so the big machine kind of swallows them up and has all their talks with them. Now, don't say this again. Don't come out with that. Now, you got to appoint so-and-so here. Yeah, we're telling you this for your own good. This is how it's going to be. So even if someone should happen to get in, they very quickly are subdued by the people that have their power holds, you know, right. And it leaves us in a very bad way. And Bill 36, I mean, I do have a short clip if you'd want to see it. Dr. Mackis, sure. Again, outlining that we are putting our physicians in danger. We're also, they're trying to get physicians to think on each other. So, you know, let us know when someone's not complying. And there's this fear factor. It's mass formation psychosis in the process. And it's just like the Rwandan genocide. You probably yes. know about this, but the Rwandan genocide, the Hutus and the Tutsis, they lived beside each other for generations until the propaganda began to be repeatedly and daily against the Tutsis, calling them cockroaches, dehumanizing them. And on right. one very bad day, the Hutus picked up their axes and mutilated all the Tutsis and sent their bodies down the river. They raped the women. They killed children in front of the parents and sent their bodies down the river. I mean, this was horrible, but these people live side by side. So we've got a problem in that all of this nastiness and all the lies, it's feeding into the people that are stupid, if we could say that. They're not listening to anything but mainstream media. They're gullible and they're weak. They're sheep. They're cowards. And those people just think the worst thing still of the unvaccinated. And now we're going to force our physicians who even want to be credible, good doctors, who know that the vaccine's dangerous. You got to get a vax just to become a doctor. What hope do we have for our world?
Right. And this is like the Soviet Union. You know, at some point, had everyone stood up right at the beginning, when only 3% of the Bolsheviks, they were 3% of the population, they couldn't have taken it over except people were quiet. Now, had a group, it didn't even take everybody. If, let's say, every person that ran the water systems all over Russia just stopped working, it would have shut it down. If all the doctors, or 30% of physicians, all the surgeons, you know, in my day and age, the big money surgeons that brought money into that hospital, if we got together and said, we don't like that, don't do this, or we're leaving, it stopped, okay? Well, it's the same thing. They can't run hospitals without surgeons. You know, people bleed on the streets, and that's one of the things the government will always pay for, is blood on the street, because they don't want to look bad like they let somebody bleed on the street. They don't care about killing you with a vaccine, but they don't really want you bleeding on the street. But they're not willing to stand up together and do that. And at this point, this is what I don't get. Where they're being murdered themselves, I don't get it. I don't get why they don't stand up.
I know. It's a lack of caring about humanity. And I was thinking about euthanasia again. And, you know, here in Canada, we have a woman who's now come out and she's blown the whistle on what they said to her. She's a disabled woman. And she needed a lift for her home, I think, you know, one of those chairs, a stair lift. And instead of saying, yes, let's see how we can do that to help you in your life, they said, well, have you considered euthanasia?
Euthanasia.
She's not old. She's a you know, middle-aged woman with a disability. She was incensed and she went to the news about it. And so I'm glad that a little bit of reporting's getting out there, because this is our future, basically, you know? Right. Oh, you don't feel well, you're 72, have you lived a good life? You know, wow, this is going to cost, you know, a pretty penny to get you the help you really need. It's on the backs of your children. Do you really feel like you want to go through that? Or would you rather just let us help you to die peacefully, respectfully, and with dignity the way you deserve to die?
Yeah, you love the dignity, don't you? Now, you know, I have to say, I've been paying attention. There was a book years ago called Wesley Smith. It was called Forced Exit, and it was about the Netherlands. And at that time, this was 20 years ago, the Netherlands was the number one country for euthanasia in the world. And literally, they had this little van that would zip around. I guess you call 1-800-KILL-ME, and like you were talking about, it'll come to your door and euthanize you. And quite frankly, the number one reason, if you were under 10 years old, the number one reason you died was at the hands of your physician. So, because they devalue elderly people that aren't working, and they devalue children with disabilities. They don't care about children that are disabled in any way. They just as soon euthanize them. And that tells you about your society when we do this. And the irony here is it was the German medical department that called them out on this and said, we think this is inhuman. I thought, now that's a turnaround, you know, because in World War II, when the Germans marched into the Holland at the time, all the Dutch doctors said, we're not going to participate in euthanasia and all the stuff you guys are doing. And they said, if you don't do that, we're going to take away your medical licenses. And you know, in those days, every Dutch doctor gave away their medical, boom, they gave away their medical license without, instead of participating in this euthanasia. And fast forward to today, where basically the country is all government paid health care. And the government, like you pointed out, they don't care about you. They just care about their bottom line. And so they went from being, these are the grandchildren of those doctors that gave away their medical license rather than participate in euthanasia. And now they're killing their patients.
That's absolutely
true. Or allowing them.
You know, our world has slipped morally, right? Complete moral decay. We've lost our way. We've ousted God from our conversations, from our world. In Canada, our prime minister considers us a post-national state. And he says the worst part of our society is basically Christians. And just a few months ago, he said we are all Muslims in Canada. He said this out loud. We are all Muslims in Canada. We are not Muslims. The Sikhs don't think they're Muslims. So, you know, we've lost God. We've lost our traditional values. We've lost morality. And now death is basically the culture that is being brought forward. And it's pretty devastating.
That's it. You named it. We are in the throes. We are in the clutches of a death cult.
Yes.
And we can argue that it's the Illuminati or the Khazarians or whoever you want to name it, but it is a death cult. And I mean, it's interesting that this what's going on over in Russia and the Ukraine. You know, under Putin, 30,000 Orthodox churches have been stood up. And Zelensky just declared a war on Christianity. And yet we're sending our money, Biden administration is sending our money to support Zelensky. I like it. I think it's, who is it on Fox News calls it, you know, the idiot in the t-shirt. But it's Christianity.
He's a narcissist. You can tell, right? Another guy with you know, a nice looking face. You can't trust him as far as you can throw him. He's a complete narcissist and he demands. He speaks as if the United States owes him. And we demand this and that, and this is what we're going to need to survive all of this and billions of dollars and no accountability for where this money even goes, right? He's got his place that he can run. If everything goes, you know, real bad, you can bet Zelensky's going to his favorite vacation spot to live out the remainder of his days with his harem. I mean, this is horrible.
Right. The only housing it's gone to in Ukraine is his parents got an $8 million house out of this whole thing.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go.
Do you see, we got a couple minutes left. Do you see a way that Canada's moving, is going to move out of this?
I don't really, not in the near future. Justin Trudeau has a guaranteed seat until 2025. They could call an election, maybe the very corrupt and evil Jagmeet Singh. He is the Sikh leader of the NDP, and he is just another snake oil salesman, and he has colluded with Trudeau at this time to basically hold the government at bay from being toppled by the Conservatives. But even if we have some sort of snap election where they have a fight, In Canada, we don't do it like you guys. We don't do it every 4 years. We do it whenever the wind blows. Whoever wants to have an election and try to, you can, he's been the prime minister now. Has he gone through three elections already? Three or four? And he can just call another one if he wants to, because he might think, oh, this time I'm going to get a majority government. Well, he did it last time and he didn't really get a majority government at all, but he's colluding with the NDP, the New Democratic Party. So we have several parties in Canada, the Conservatives, the Liberals and the NDP. Then we've got the Green Party. They've got like two seats. And we've got the Christian Heritage Party. And we've got the People's Party of Canada. And our true hope would be that the People's Party of Canada, Maxime Bernier, be given a shot at running this country. Because if we had Maxime Bernier in running our country, we wouldn't have any of this nonsense. But of course, because he points out the corruption of the Conservative Party, you know, he points out the rhinos, basically, if I could relate it to how you guys are. He points out that corruption, then he gets, you know, some pretty bad press and all that. But he's really amazing. I don't know how we get out of this, to answer your question, Dr. Merritt. It needs to be an act of God. I do know what's happening is that people are beginning to form their own groups. They're beginning to figure out how they can live without government support and help. And they're also, you know, we're not without our guns here. It's just that Trudeau is trying to take our guns away. So people are getting their PAL licenses. They're getting their guns for hunting. You know, in Canada, we're not even allowed to shoot an intruder. I mean, this is problematic, right? We're probably going to jail if we shoot the guy who's breaking in to you know, rape and pillage our home. So it's very problematic. We do ask for the United States just a couple things. Would you please pray for us? And yes. Anytime you can, bring our issues, because many of you are related to Canadians or you have dual citizenship, bring our issues before someone like Ron Johnson or the senators or any representatives that you can speak to. Do your best to get Canada in front of their faces so that there is collaboration, so that somebody's watching out for us. We're in a lot of trouble. We've got the world's biggest cricket factory, and they don't care about our rights. So, God help us all.
I know. And we'll pray for you as we pray for ourselves and the rest of the world, because we have to get out from underneath the death cult. But we really appreciate Laura Lynn being with us today. And you can see her in Canada. And we'll see you guys next week. Thank you.